Right now in Colombia, sun is shining. It's a beautiful morning, 76 degrees. Humidity, not that bad, 84%. Yep. A little breeze out there for you, 6 miles an hour. So it's a nice day.
It is.
It's even better now, though, because Karen's here from Oakleaf
good
Village.
Good morning.
And we're so happy to see you.
It's good to be here.
I know you don't want to celebrate.
I don't.
I'm not going to sing, but you. I am going to tell you happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
Sorry I missed it because I was doing the Descendants.
You were a little busy.
I was very busy, but yeah. That's still, I care about my friends' birthdays.
I understand.
And I wish you a full and wonderful, healthy, happy, joyous year around the sun.
Thank you. It was a lovely birthday. My kids took good care of us, and it was really pleasant, so I can't complain.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Just the fact you get to be with the family,
yes.
That's the blessing.
That's all that matters.
And then the fact that they care enough to come over. You told me they were doing some stuff for you around the house and stuff like that. The considerate sons are the good ones.
You know what's really nice is when they get old enough that they can cook a meal and they enjoy cooking the meal.
That's great.
Fun.
That's great. Well, so, I'm glad you had a nice birthday. And again, my apologies for not in advance wishing you a happy one, but I'm glad it was a good one. And, and thank you for coming in. And thank you. You brought us some goodies, too, which is always nice. A little breakfast for Brian, a little breakfast for Kev. So thank you for that. But
certainly.
Happy to see you. And ready to dive into our positive points on aging. This is something we do each and every week from Tuesday from about 8:35 until 9 o'clock. And we talk with our friends from Oakleaf Village. And today we're going to talk about denial and care. Tell me
more. Yes. Well, we're going to kind of, I'm not even sure how I'm going to present this because it's been a very interesting couple of weeks at Oakleaf Village. Mm-hmm. And I had the realization that we need to talk about denial and just not being honest with ourselves.
Okay.
We are all deniers, whether we want to admit it. We deny that we may have a disease. You know, I've known people who've had symptoms of diseases, and instead of going to the doctor, they just ignore it. When Phil was in the hospital, there was a nurse there who had a history of heart problems and was having chest pains, but she was too busy to go to the doctor. That's not smart. That's denial.
Right.
That's not being honest with yourself. We deny drug or alcohol abuse. We deny dementia. So we got to think about these things. And this is kind of a support group sort of topic in the way I'm presenting this today, because it concerns me that if you have the time, if you are concerned about what's going on in your house and you pick up the phone and you call a placement agency or you call an assisted living, you have something that's making you worried.
Right.
You're worried about something, about a behavior of somebody, or concerned about the care, or concerned about something.
Sure.
Because nobody's going to call an assisted living or a placement agency just for the fun of it.
Right.
Because they know once you get in our database, we're going to keep calling you until some point you tell us not to call you or something changes.
Right.
So it's not, if you take that much time and if there's a concern, you know there's a problem. And just because that problem stops today doesn't mean it's not going to come back tomorrow.
True.
And
it's not going to stop.
And it's not going to get better.
It's not going to get
those
better.
Those problems are still there, and there's a reason you picked up that phone.
Right.
So think about that when you start exploring your options, shall we say.
Sure.
So you've explored your options. You've made the phone call, and you've come to an assisted living, and you're sitting at a table, and you're talking to somebody who really is kind of an expert on what they do and on what's going on with your loved one. And it doesn't necessarily have to be dementia. It can be they can just be sick. You know, they may have physical problems that are bothering you and you're finding you can't take care of.
Sure.
When that expert starts asking you questions, take a minute and be honest with your answers, folks, because several people have come to me and they've sat down and I've said, okay, so is your mother wandering at night? Oh, no. She sleeps through the night, except for when she gets up. And occasionally we'll find her in the bathroom, or occasionally we'll find her in the kitchen.
Hello.
That is called wandering at night.
Yeah.
Or does your mother, has she tried to go outside or wander off, you know, from her house?
Right.
Oh, no, I find her at the mailbox, or she's in the backyard looking at the trees, or hello, again. Listen to what you're saying. That is a red flag. That is not something to be ignored. That is a problem, and you're just denying it to yourself.
Sure.
And you just don't want to be, you don't want to be honest, because you don't want to admit that there's a problem when there is one.
Right.
yet something triggered that phone call and the reason you're sitting at the table across from me.
Absolutely.
So what is it, folks? So what are you doing? What are you thinking about? And why are we doing this? It goes back to that we're just uncomfortable with the fact that we can't do it all. I have had clients come in, and one of the parents has been sick, and the other one had dementia, and the sick one is absolutely adamant that they're going to take care of that person until the last minute. Well, when they finally get around to moving the one with dementia, they discover that the one who was sick was a lot sicker than they thought they were because they've been taking care of the person with dementia, and the person with dementia is in a lot worse shape than they realize. So, again, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be scared. It's okay not to have answers.
I'm glad you said those three things, because before we even get into the next step of this discussion, I think you need to talk about why are you in denial?
Right.
And I think you just said a lot of it has to do with fear.
It's always fear,
yeah,
I think.
I mean, and the unknown, mm-hmm. and just how do I handle this? And I don't know how to handle this. And am I equipped to handle this? No,
right.
No, and no. And so I think denial, at least the way you're describing this, this is not a bad trait in terms of there's no malice here. You're not doing it because you're trying to be mean or neglect someone that needs help. You just don't know how to deal with it, and you're scared.
Change is frightening, and we hate change, even though we change every day. Something different is going on.
But this is the kind
of
change.
This is a big change.
Yeah, this is the kind of change that's got some permanence to it. And this is also the kind of change where you are having to come to terms with something that you know is probably only going to get worse, not better.
Sorry, folks. If you got dementia, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. But if you got cancer, it's probably not going to get better. At some point, you're probably going to have to deal with it again. You know, change is frightening. And then you think about the fact that you've got family dynamics involved with this change. How do I tell my sister that I really can't take care of my mother any longer, even though I'm living in the house with her?
Right.
How do I tell my children I can't take care of their father anymore? He's just too much and it's too overwhelming. My children are going to be very angry at me. They're going to hate me. They're going to say, what about your marriage vows? Aren't you supposed to take care of this person till death do you part? Well, you're going to be the one that's going to die before the one you're taking care of.
Yeah.
You've heard me say it 1,000 times. It happens all the time.
Right.
So the fear, don't be afraid. You're sitting at a table talking to somebody. Listen to what they're saying. You know, we've talked about this before, too. Oakleaf Village is not for everybody.
No.
But I can tell you where the other places that might work for you if we're not the answer.
The point is you're never alone.
Right.
I know that might sound almost like a little one of those things you put on your fridge or something like that, but it's really true, Ms. Karen.
Yes.
You're not alone. You're not the first, however what your age is, to experience this with a parent or with a spouse. This has happened before. It's going to happen to others.
Yeah.
It's happening to someone right down the street from you probably. You're not alone.
Right.
There's always someone that's either gone through or is going through this that can help you and show you some empathy and some compassion and can show you some ideas on what you can do to deal with it.
Direction is what you need. Talk to your
you're
doctor.
Not alone.
We've always talked about that. Sometimes picking a medical team to help you walk through this is one of the biggest things you can do.
Sure.
So if you're talking to somebody, ask them who their physicians are. Do those kinds of things. Do your legwork. But just remember that covering it up doesn't make it better.
No. You can't hide from the realities of
you
it.
You really can't. Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I've always said this, that maybe moving to an assisted living and getting help sooner rather than later is better because I don't think they would care, but I talked to a family whose mother has cancer and they wanted to move her to assisted living. And I finally said, it's too late.
Yeah.
She would have benefited 6 months ago, but now it's not going to help her.
Right.
And she needs to stay home and stay with the care with you guys because she's not going to be with us much longer.
Right.
And you could move her to a nursing home, but that's not what they wanted at all. They wanted her to be around people who cared for her and not in a nursing environment.
Right. I mean, she's almost at a hospice situation.
Yeah, and she was. And that's what they ended up doing. But, you know, we're not for everybody. But you have to be honest with me when you sit at the table. And that family was honest, and I could give them good direction. And I felt comfortable saying, nope, they're not coming to Oakleaf. This is the answer, but this might be the answer.
Right.
So when you call somebody, please remember, and I'm going to keep stressing on that, you didn't make that phone call for no reason, and it's not necessarily going to get better. you do want to have a conversation with your family members, though, too, about what your plans are, because you want everybody to be in the loop and you want people to be encouraged. And we'll talk about that when we get back.
Perfect. Glad you're with us. This is the Positive Points on Aging right here on a Tuesday morning at The Point. Stick around.
Mornings with Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studio. It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
Hey, welcome back in. This is The Point. Thank you for being with us on a Tuesday morning. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Clear to Close with Mary Gervais and Erica. That's coming your way in a little while. But in the meantime, we are very excited to get back to our segment, which we love doing around here, the Positive Points on Aging. And our friends with Oakleaf Village are in each and every Tuesday. Today, of course, we're happy to have Karen back here with us. And I appreciate you coming on in here and helping
us.
We've been talking about denial and care and how they are kind of intertwined. You got to get past the denial to get the care.
That's right. You really do. And it's so hard to do. And I don't want people to feel guilty about what I'm talking about. And I don't want people to feel bad that they're doing something, because there's no right or wrong in this situation. Everybody does the best they can do at the time that they're doing it with the tools that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do the best we can. But I do believe that if you are scared enough that you pick up a phone and call somebody, that you need to really be honest with yourself and not turn around the next day. And when that marketing person calls you back and says, okay, well, are you ready to pick out an apartment? And you go, oh, no, we're going to stay at home. We've decided it's really not as bad as we think it is. It probably is as bad as you think it is, but you just don't want to make that move. Now, right. If it's financial, I get it. Not everybody can afford assisted living. It is extremely expensive. But there are other ways to get help. There's the Central Midlands Office on Aging has money for respite stays. If you're tired and you want to just take a break and want to put your loved one in a community or get care to come in the house, there's money and there's funds for that. A lot of assisted livings do offer respite, that you can move somebody in for a week or two,
right,
and have them stay and get care, and you get a break. That might be all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Call in a family member. You know, we were just talking about family members. If you can't do it, call them and say, I need your help, please.
Sure.
And most times, family members don't realize that you need help.
Right.
I know when Phil's father died, his brother came down from New York, and he said, I had no idea what you've been doing.
Right.
Because he wasn't here. How could he know? It's not his fault.
It's not. If you don't see it on a day-to-day basis, you might not realize, especially if the other family member, God bless him or her, are not complainers.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's no big deal. I live here. I want to do my thing.
I'll do it,
You know, what could you have done for me anyway up in New York?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I get that. It's not a guilt thing. It's just the reality of this is, you know, hands-on.
Yep.
Trust me, I knew that from my own my mom's situation.
Yeah, you did.
People had no idea some of the things that Mark and I would do for mom. Absolutely. I wish I were still having to do those things right now. Trust me, I would love to be able to still do those things for her. But my point is, unless you're there and you see it, I could see why that'd be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Well, it doesn't get easier. That's the thing I can't stress enough.
That's right.
It only gets tougher. And we did take mom over and put her in assisted living.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, we were still there every single day to see her, but nonetheless, it was easier for us once she got into assisted living, and it was easier for her.
It's much easier, and let's be honest, it gives you the opportunity to be her child again and not her caregiver.
Good point. I don't know many mothers
who want their kids taking care of them, taking them to bathrooms, taking them to the shower.
Right.
Most parents don't want that.
That's a dignity issue
it
also.
It really is.
And it's also just an issue that you get to that point and you know you're getting close to the end if it's to the point where your own son or daughter has to take you and wipe.
Right.
And that's not something you haven't lived your whole life to get to that point.
Exactly. So at that point, and that's what you guys did. You stepped up and you found a community and it worked. And you still visited. You could have taken her out. You could do whatever
you want.
When you move somebody to assisted living, you're not locking them up. And I know people come in and go, I can take them to the beach. Well, you could take them around the world if you wanted to.
It's not prison.
It is not prison.
No, it's assisted living, and you're paying a good amount of money to have someone help you. But it doesn't mean that you're paying to lock your loved one up.
And you get to be the kid again. And that's really important. So you need to reach out to people. Don't hesitate. I know sometimes it's embarrassing to have to say I can't do it. I just said, you know, I finally have gotten to the point with Phil, I've had to look at our kids and say, okay, I quit. I am so tired. I need you to do this, this, and this for me because I can't do everything anymore. I'm not as young as I was 10 years ago, sure. Even last year. I just had a birthday, remember? Sure. Yeah. So it does become a problem. But I do encourage you, keep a journal. Keep a journal of your frustrations, of what's going on with your loved one, of their illnesses, of their behaviors, because then you can go back if you go to a doctor's appointment, because we don't all think clearly when we're under stress.
Right.
You can go to a doctor's appointment and say, I really need help with this.
Right.
I really need help with that.
Right.
I don't often say it. Google is a huge source of help in these kinds of things. Excuse me. They, you can look up, you know, ways to get help. Places to go, people to talk to. There are also support groups online. There's things like that that can help you in this process. You're not alone, as you've been saying today, and we say all the time.
I just can't stress that enough.
Right. So, you know, reach out to people. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses that you, oh, they're perfectly fine. They just, you know, they just got up last night for the first time.
Right.
No, they didn't. You know they didn't. So don't make those excuses. As I mentioned earlier, talk to your physician. Read everything you can. That's another big one. Get all the information you can,
sure,
about whether it's cancer or dementia or whether they've had a stroke. Whatever it is that can help you make better decisions. But again, you've got to be honest with yourself, and I can't stress that enough because that's what I've been seeing a lot of people just going, oh, no, it's perfectly fine, when they know in their heart it's really not perfectly fine.
I keep going back to why does someone keep staying in denial, and I keep going back to the fear involved. And once someone comes to terms with something and accepts it, it's going to make life a lot easier for you. I'm not saying you need to quit or give up because you've accepted something.
No.
I'm just saying once you come to terms with it and you're not in denial of it, then you can have a plan going forward.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's going to be easier, it's going to be an easy plan, but at least it's going to be a plan versus hiding from it and trying to think it's going to go away, because it's not going away.
It's not going to go away, and acceptance is the first step. That's my line for the day.
And what happens, Ms. Karen, if you don't accept it, and then, God forbid, you've been denying it, she does wander off, she does get out into the middle of the street, she does get hit by a car, something like that, and you've known all along in the back of your mind, you try living with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you think you feel guilty because you got help.
Right.
That's worse guilt. I had a client not long ago who allowed his mother to and father to take care of each other. Mother had dementia. Well, dad fell and mom couldn't call 911.
Right.
Dad ended up passing away.
Right.
Because it was several days before they found him.
Not
Don't
a good
go
situation.
There, folks. No. It's not worth it because there are ways to get help. There are services out there to help you and to get you where you need to be. But if you've had the time to make that first call, you need to think about why you did that and what was a catalyst for that and how it can help. That's where the journaling can help, because if you've written these things down, you know what to look for and you know what you're asking about. But acceptance. And remember, there is no guilt here. There is nothing to feel bad about.
No. If anything, it's the opposite of that. I mean, you're trying to do what is the best thing I can do for someone I love. There should be no guilt whatsoever with that. You're not pawning your loved one off on someone else. That's absurd. You're going to someone who's trained in this specific area that you're not trained in.
Right.
And you're letting them use their expertise to give your loved one the best quality of life possible at this point. That's all.
As I tell people, we've got 68 staff members to do what one or two people at home are trying to do. And that's a huge difference. And again, it opens up the ability to be the child again. But folks, if you have any other questions, and if I can help, you're not necessarily being moved into Oakley Village, give us a call at 803-808-3477 or OakleyVillageLexington.com. We do have lots of resources and lots of people, and we have support groups, and I have a list of support groups. There's all kinds of things we can do to help if you just give us a holler.
Yeah, it's important. And again, I love the fact that Oakleaf and that Karen makes it very clear. If they can't help you, they'll find someone that can.
That's
this is
our
not
goal.
An infomercial for Oakley Village. It's never been. It's just, what can we do to make this situation in your family a little bit easier to cope with. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your compassion
and
for your
week.
Kindness. Yeah, for sure. Clear to Close coming up next. I'll see everybody this afternoon at 4 o'clock. For Karen, for Brian, I'm Kev. Thanks for listening right here at The Point.
Mornings with Kev.